الحبيبة تصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله، فوز الله من كل شيء فجبنه. I would seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wounds that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du, certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is in the fire. Today we're with fiqh and the book of Imam Ash-Shawkani, Ad-Durr al-Bahiyya, with the proof from Al-Adillat al-Radiyya li Muhammad Subhi Hassan al-Hallaq. And we come to the chapter Al-Fasl al-Thani, Man tajib al-salawat al-khams wa amman tasqut. Ala man tajib al-salawat al-khams wa amman tasqut. Or the second section, and we're still in the book of Salah, the section on who is the five Salah compulsory upon and on who isn't it, or something like that. And the statement of Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, وَلَا تَجِبُ عَلَى غَيْرِ مُكَلَّفٍ وَتَسْقُطُ عَمَّنْ عَجَزَ عَنِ الْإِشَارَةِ أَوْ أُغْمِيَ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى خَرَجَ وَقْتُهَا وَيُصَلِّ الْمَرِيضُ قَائِمًا ثُمَّ قَاعِدًا ثُمَّ عَلَى جَنْبٍ. Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, and the salah is not compulsory on the one who hasn't reached the age of puberty. And it's not compulsory on the one who's not able to even motion in the salah, or for the one who has lost his consciousness until the time of the salah went out, and the person who is sick makes his salah while he's standing and then sitting and then on his side. Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, with his statement that salat is not compulsory on the ghayru mukallaf, on the people who have not reached the age of puberty, and this is from, or really the translation should be a little more broader than this, as the Shaykh explains the statement of Imam Ash-Shawkani, not just the one who reaches the age of puberty, but the one who has the intellect and reaches the age of puberty and has accepted Islam. And this word of mukallaf, I don't know any word in English that gives it, and hopefully that these three words will give a better meaning. As the Shaykh explains, a person who has accepted Islam, reached the age of puberty, and is sane and not insane. And what shows this is the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, anna Mu'adhin qala ba'athani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal innaka ta'ti qawman min ahli al-kitab fad'uhum ila shahadati an la ilaha illallah wa anni Rasulullah fa'inhum ata'uka lithalika fa'a'limhum anna Allah haftarada alayhim khamsa salawatin fi kulli yawmin wa layla. To the end of this authentic hadith. And this hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Abbas said that Mu'ad said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him and told him to say, or and said to him, indeed you will come across a people from Ahlul Kitab, or from the people of the book, or the Jews and the Christians. So I command you to call them to the Shahada of La ilaha illallah, and that I am the Messenger of Allah. And if they obey you in that, then teach them that Allah has made compulsory on them 5 salat every day. The Shaykh uses this hadith to show that the salat is not upon the people who have not embraced Islam. As the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him to call him to the Shahada, if he accepts that, then tell him that Allah has made the 5 salat compulsory on him. So we see that the person who has not accepted Islam, it's not compulsory on them to make the salat, as they have not even embraced this deen of Al-Islam. The other point of reaching the age of puberty and being sane or sound mind is from the hadith of Abu Dawood and Imam al-Nasai and Ibn Majah on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha an al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala rufi' al-qalamu an thalatha an al-na'imi hatta yastayqidha wa an al-sabiyyi hatta yahtalima wa an al-majnuni hatta ya'qula. And this hadith is authentic, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the pen has been lifted on 3: on the one who is asleep until he wakes up, on the child until he reaches the age of puberty, and on the one who is insane until he gains his sanity. So here we see from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the person who is not of age and the person who is not of sound mind, then they are excused from the salat from these texts. And Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says that the one who doesn't have the ability to even motion in his salat, I forgot what you call those people, like someone paralyzed, he can't move at all, then it's not upon him to make the salat. And the Shaykh, he says that in Islam, Allah does not burden the soul above its ability. Well, we know this from the statement of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, that Allah doesn't burden a soul except with that which He has the ability to do. Or as Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, ولا in Surah Al-Talaq, ولا يكلف الله نفسا إلا ما آتاها, and Allah doesn't burden a soul except with that which Allah has given it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's many texts to show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't burden a soul beyond its ability, and if the person doesn't have the ability to even motion in the salah, then it's not upon that person to make the salah. And the same thing goes for the next statement that Imam al-Shawkani says, and that is for the person who is unconscious during the time of the salah until one salah comes in and goes out. And this is the same thing, that he's not responsible during that time, as he's not altogether, and Allah doesn't burden a soul beyond his scope. For the sick person, they make salat standing and then sitting and then on the side. And this is from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Al-Bukhari Muslim. Al-Bukhari from the authority of Imran ibn Hussein qala kanat bi bawasir fa sa'altu an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wasallam 'an as-salah fa qala salli qa'iman fa in lam tastati' fa qa'idan fa in lam tastati' fa 'ala jamb. The Messenger of Imran ibn Hussein radiyallahu anhu, he said that I had hemorrhoids, and I asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam about salat, and he said, I command you to make salat standing, and if you're not able to, then sitting, and if you're not able to, then laying down or on your side. So here we see the statement of Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, that the salat is not compulsory on the one who is not mukallaf, and this is the one who has not embraced Islam or has not reached the age of puberty or is not sane. And he says that the salat isn't upon the one who doesn't have the ability even to motion. Like the example, somebody's whole body is paralyzed.
I don't know what the name of it is. Quadrupedic. That's all I'm saying. I don't know the name of it, but the person who can't move. Tell me how he can make salat. I'm asking how he's going to make salat. Yeah. He can move his eyes. It's a motion. Yeah, this is for the one who can't even motion. That's why I said I don't know the name. Yeah, whatever, the one that can't even motion, that he's going through it's a lot, a little something. Then, let us tell us how to save us from that. For the one who is unconscious until he gains his consciousness, and the sick person makes salat standing if he has the ability, and if not, then sitting, and if not, then on his side. And this is the proof for the statements of Imam Ash-Shawqani that we just quoted. I don't know if there are any questions left to this brief chapter. Yes. Can he motion? If he can motion, he makes a lot of motion. Imam Ash-Shawqani said, for the one who can't even motion, then he doesn't do it. The one who can motion, motion. No. Yes. You can take your shahada anytime. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, as we don't know anything from the Quran or the Sunnah that prevents a person from taking their shahada. What we know of, for the lady who is on a menstrual cycle, that she doesn't fast, that she doesn't make salah, that she doesn't have relations with her husband. She doesn't make tawaf around the Kaaba. These are some of the texts that we know that prevents the lady from doing certain things on their menstrual cycle. Or the man can't divorce her while she's on her menstrual cycle. But as far as taking the shahada, they can take it any time, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that. What Imam Ash-Shawqani and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best is just trying to show from this chapter that Allah doesn't burden a soul beyond its ability, and that whoever is incapable of and maybe it might have been better to say a coma, as some of the brothers said, whoever is just incapable of doing anything, then alright, he doesn't have to make the salah. And Imam Ash-Shawqani just wanted to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best that Islam is complete and it deals with everybody's circumstances. And nobody's going to come with some circumstances new or particular to his situation, except that Allah has already dealt with it. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And this is just an example of the many examples to refute the statements of the people who think that they have particular or special circumstances, as they used to teach us that the black man of America has circumstances that nobody else in the world has. And this is only from the ignorance of the people not understanding that Allah had completed this deen and it deals with everyone's circumstances. And even if they wanted to look at the black man in America, their circumstances is no more different than Musa's people's circumstances, where Pharaoh enslaved them in and killed them and did what he did to the women. وَلَا حَوْلَا وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ.
Uh-huh.
I can't phrase that. Let me make a statement, and hopefully this is clarification of that. And this issue that Allah doesn't burden us all beyond His capability. Some people say, I don't have the ability to establish the fast for Allah, so I don't have to do it because Allah doesn't burden us all beyond His capability. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Ala ya'lamu man khalaq. Doesn't the one who create knows? Allah know what He created, and He knows what you have the ability to do, and then He commanded you to worship Him by practicing Islam. So everybody has the ability to practice Islam, except for those texts where Allah gives the people exceptions or license not to practice certain things, like the example of the month of Ramadan for the one who is sick or traveling. Then He just makes up those days, and the other examples where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers the people's circumstances and makes it okay, like in the case of eating the meat that is haram. This is so long as you're not driven by necessity, not desiring to commit a sin or to be willfully disobedient, then it's permissible for you to eat that meat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave everybody sufficient exceptions, and even we see in the salat, if you can't make it standing, then sitting, and if you can't sitting, then on your side, and likewise. But no one can use a general statement, Allah doesn't burden us all beyond His capability, to wipe out Islam. To choose and pick for anything He wants to do, to say, yeah, I can handle that, and that I can't do it, and Allah doesn't burden us all. So Allah doesn't burden the soul, but He knows that soul that He created that He didn't burden. Al-Bab al-Sadis, Bab Salat al-Tatawwa'in, the sixth chapter, and the chapter of voluntary salah. And the statement of Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, Hiya arba'un qabla al-Zuhri wa arba'un ba'dahu. وأربع قبل العصر وركعتان بعد المغرب وركعتان بعد العشاء وركعتان قبل صلاة الفجر وصلاة الضحى وصلاة الليل وأكثرها 13 ركعة يوتر في آخرها بركعة وتحية المسجد والاستخارة وركعتان بين كل أذان وإقامة. And the statement of Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah for the chapter of the voluntary salah, there are 4 raka'at before dhuhr and 4 after dhuhr and 4 before asr and 2 after maghrib and 2 after al-isha and 2 before salatul fajr and 2 for salatul duha and 2 for the night salah. And the most that you can perform the night salah is 13 raka'ah, and the witr being 1 raka'ah, and to greet the masjid is 2 raka'ah, and the salatul istakhara is 2 raka'ah, and there are 2 raka'ah between the adhan and the iqam. Let's read it slow as we cover each point, inshallah. And the first point is the statement that there are 4 raka'ah before dhuhr and 4 raka'at after dhuhr. And this is from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ collected by Abu Dawood in At-Tirmidhi, عن أم حبيبة زوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حافظ على 4 ركعات قبل الظهر وأربع بعدها حرم على النار. And this hadith is authentic, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever guards 4 raka'at before dhuhr and 4 after it, that he's prohibited from entering the fire. So this shows the 4 raka'at before dhuhr and 4 raka'at after dhuhr and 4 raka'at before salatul asr. And this is from the hadith of Abu Dawood in At-Tirmidhi, rahmukallah. And it's authentic. عن ابن عمر قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رحم الله امرأ صلى قبل العصر 4. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم say, may the mercy of Allah be on the one who makes 4 raka'at before Salatul Asr. And then there's 2 raka'at after Salatul Maghrib. And this is from the hadith of Ibn Ibn Majah, and it's authentic, عن رافع بن خديج قال أتانا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في بني عبد العشهل أشهل فصلى بنا المغرب في مسجدنا ثم قال اركعوا هاتين الركعتين في بيوتكم. And this hadith is authentic, where Rafi ibn Khadij, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to us at Bani Abd al-Ashhal, and he led us in Salatul Maghrib in our masjid, and then he said, make those two raka'at in your houses, and those two raka'at after Salatul Maghrib. And if we read the books of the Sunnah, and this is time to take advantage of this point, that the Shaykh is just bringing probably the first evidence that comes to his mind to support each point. And there are other evidences around the point that we mentioned. And if the brothers refer to the books like Bulugh al-Maram and Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim and the Sunan of Abu Dawood, being careful that he holds fast to the paper that was photocopied showing what is authentic and what's not, then he can see the different hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pertaining to these issues. And everything authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our position. And you can't mention everything in a class, and the Shaykh is trying to mention that which is sufficient, inshaAllah ta'ala. The Shaykh, he adds that it is, he said that it's also recommended to make two raka'at before Salatul Maghrib. For the hadith, from the hadith of Al-Bukhari al-Muslim, an Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه قال كان المؤذن إذا أذن قام ناس من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يبتدرون السواري حتى يخرج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهم كذلك يصلون الركعتين قبل المغرب ولم يكن بين الأذان والإقامة شيء. Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه, he said that the muezzin would make the adhan, and then the people from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be trying to get behind a pole, meaning to take it for a sutra in order to make salah, until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come out, and they were like that, making two raka'at before Maghrib, and between the adhan and the iqama was almost no time for Salatul Maghrib. So the Shaykh wanted to use this hadith from Al-Bukhari al-Muslim to show that it's recommended to make two raka'at before Maghrib. And he's using this to show that there's almost no time between the adhan and the iqam of Maghrib. And if the people are making the two raka'at, saying to the Messenger of Allah, that it's recommended, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. And two raka'at after Salatul Isha. And this is from the hadith of Imam Muslim, عن عبد الله بن شقيق قال سألت عائشة عن صلاة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن تطوعه. Oh, I wanted to read the whole hadith. Back up to the statement of Abdullah bin Shaqiq رحمه الله قال سألت عائشة عن صلاة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن تطوعه فقالت كان يصلي في بيته قبل الظهر أربعا ثم يخرج فيصلي بالناس ثم يدخل فيصلي ركعتين وكان يصلي بالناس المغرب ثم يدخل فيصلي ركعتين ويصلي بالناس العشاء ويدخل بيتي فيصلي ركعتين وكان يصلي من الليل تسع ركعات فيهن الوتر وكان يصلي ليلا طويلا قائما وليلا طويلا قاعدا وكان إذا قرأ وهو قائم ركع وسجد وهو قائم وإذا قرأ قاعدا ركع وسجد وهو قاعد وكان إذا طلع الفجر صلى ركعتين. And this hadith of Imam Muslim, Abdullah ibn Shaqiq rahimahullah, he said that I asked Aisha radiallahu anha about the salat of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his voluntary salat. And she said that he would make four raka'at in the house before dhuhr. And then he would go out and lead the people in the salat for dhuhr. And then he would enter the house and make two raka'ahs. And this is different from the other narration that we have mentioned, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made four raka'ahs after dhuhr. And in this narration it shows that he makes two raka'ahs after dhuhr, and both of them are from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is some of, if you want to call it, some of the differencing from the scholars. That's not really a difference. As someone, you might ask him, how many raka'ahs, as Imam Shawkani mentions, how many raka'ahs do you make voluntarily after dhuhr? He says four. And you ask somebody else and you say two, and he says two, and you ask, well, who's right? He said four and he said two. Both of them are right, as both of them have been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And there are many examples where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this one time and did that sometimes or that sometimes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Aisha continues by saying, then he would lead the people in Salatul Maghrib, and then he would enter the house after that and make two raka'ahs, and then he would go to lead the people in Isha, and then he would enter my house and make two raka'ahs. And this was the point of making two raka'ahs after Salatul Isha. Then he would make nine raka'ahs, including witr, for the night salat. And sometimes he would make the night salat very long while he was standing. And sometimes he would make the night salat very long while he was sitting. And if he would read while he was standing, then he would make the rukur and the sujood while he was standing, meaning coming from the standing position. And if he was sitting, then he would do the rukur and the sujood while he was sitting. And when the time of fajr came, he made two raka'ahs. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So this hadith shows the point that there are two raka'ah after Salatu al-Isha. And then Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimullah, he says there are two raka'ah before Salatu al-Fajr. And we saw this just in the hadith of Imam Muslim. And we also see this in another hadith of Imam Muslim عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يكن على شيء من النوافل أشد معاهدة منه على ركعتين قبل الصبح. عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها, she said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم was never on something voluntarily as much as he was on the two raka'ahs before Salatul Subh. And this is Salatul Fajr. And then the Shaykh, he just wants to mention, adding on to this, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ أَنْ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ, in these two raka'ahs before Salatul Fajr. Or as we see in the hadith of Imam Muslim on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَرَأَ فِي رَكَعَتَيْ الْفَجْر قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ وَقُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. That Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he read in the two rak'ahs before Fajr, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ and قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. The Shaykh, he wanted to add, I forgot to add this point, that there are two rak'ahs before Salatul Isha. And he's using the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in al-Bukhari al-Muslim, "Bayna kulli adhanayni salatun, bayna kulli adhanayni salatun, thumma qala fi al-thalitha liman sha'a." He says that he uses this from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Between every adhan and the iqam is the salat, between every adhan and the iqam is the salat for the one who wants." So the Shaykh was just using this to show that it could be two raka'ahs before Salatul Isha. I would guess he would mean before any Salat, and that is the Salat between the Adhan and the Iqamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Then Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he said there are two raka'ahs for Salatul Duha, or excuse me, he says that Salatul Duha as being a part of the voluntary Salat. And Salatul Duha, the shortest amount is two raka'ahs, and the most is eight raka'ahs. As the Shaykh says, and he brings the hadith of Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, قال أوصاني خليلي صلى الله عليه وسلم بثلاث صيام ثلاثة أيام من كل شهر وركعة الضحى وأن أوتر قبل أن أنام. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said, my close friend sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised me with three things: with fasting 3 days of every month, two raka'at for salatul duha, and to make witr before I go to sleep. And also we see in the hadith of the other hadith of al-Bukhari al-Muslim, where Hani radiallahu anha annahu أنه كان عام الفتح أتت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو بأعلى مكة فقام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى غسله فسترت عليه فاطمة ثم أخذ ثوبه والتحف به ثم صلى ثماني ركعات سبحة الضحى أي صلاة الضحى. This hadith of Hani radiallahu anha, that it was during the time of the conquest of Mecca, where she came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was in the upper part of Mecca, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood at the place where he was washing, and Fatima was covering him alayhi salatu wasalam, and he took his thobe and he wrapped it around himself, and then he made 8 raka'at of salatul duha, or as it comes in this narration, sabha al duha. So this shows, as the shaykh is saying, that duha is 2 raka'at being the shortest and 8 raka'at being the most, and he says that this duha is better to separate between every 2 raka'at with a tasmeen and not to make the 8 straight through. And he uses the hadith of Abu Dawood, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم الفتح صلى سبحة الضحى 8 ركعات يسلم من كل ركعتين. And this narration of Abu Dawood, and this is also on the authority of Hani رضي الله عنها, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم made 8 raka'at of salatul duha, and he was doing the salam, the taslim, between every 2 raka'at. So this shows the way to do the salatul duha being 2 raka'at up until 8 raka'at. And salatul duha, this is in the morning time after the sun rises up to just before dhuhr. We see this in the hadith of Zayd ibn Arqam radiallahu anhu, qala kharaja rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala ahli quba wa hum yusallun fa qala salatal awwabin idha ramadatil fisal. With the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather Zayd ibn Arqam radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the people of Quba and they were making salat, and he said, this is the salat of the Awwabin, and this is in the morning time. And the Awwab, they are those people who are obedient to Allah, and those people who repent to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And this is used by the Shaykh to show that the Salatul Duha is the morning Salat, meaning after the sun has risen to just before Salatul Dhuhr, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. Then the Shaykh, he says the night Salat, and he uses the hadith collected by Imam Muslim on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, afdalu siyami ba'da Ramadan shahrullah al-muharram wa afdalu salati ba'da al-fariida salatul layl. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the best fast after the month of Ramadan is in the month of Allah al-muharram, and the best salat after the compulsory salah is the night salah. And this just shows the virtue of the night salah. And then Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says that it is up to 13 raka'at. And this is from the hadith of Imam Muslim on the authority of Urwa, that Aisha radiallahu anha akhbaratu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kani yusalli 13 raka'atan bi raka'atay al-fajr. That Urwa said that Aisha radiallahu anha informed him that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made 13 raka'ah, including the 2 raka'ah of Salatul Fajr. And the Shaykh said he would make the witr to be the last salah of the night salah. And this is from the hadith of Abu Dawood and Al-Nasai and Ibn Majah and others on the authority of Abu Ayyub Al-Ansari. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-witru haqqun ala kulli muslimin. فمن أحب أن يوتر بخمس فليفعل ومن أحب أن يوتر بثلاث فليفعل ومن أحب أن يوتر بواحدة فليفعل. And this hadith is authentic, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says witr is a right on every Muslim, and whoever loves to make witr with five raka'ats, then let him do so. And whoever likes to make witr with three raka'ahs, then let him do so. And whoever likes to make witr with only one raka'ah, then let him do so. And this hadith is authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to make the raka'ahs for greeting the masjid. And this is from the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَسْجِدَ فَلْيَرْكَعْ رَكَعْتَيْنِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَجْلِسَ. The Messenger of Allah says, if any one of you enters the masjid, then make two raka'ahs before he sits down. And then the Shaykh, he says, Salatul Istikhara. And this is from the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, عن جابر رضي الله عنه قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعلمنا الاستخارة في الأمور كلها كسورة من القرآن. إذا هم أحدكم بالأمر فليركع ركعتين من غير الفريضة ثم يقول اللهم إني أستخيرك بعلمك وأستقدرك بقدرتك وأسألك من فضلك العظيم فإنك تقدر ولا أقدر وتعلم ولا أعلم وأنت علام الغيوب اللهم إن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر خير لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري أو قال في عاجل أمري وآجله فقدره لي وإن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر شر لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري أو قال في عاجل أمري وآجله فاصرفه عني واصرفني عنه وقدر لي الخير حيث كان ثم رضني به ويسمي حاجته. هذا حديث الإمام البخاري. Jabir radiallahu anhu, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach us al-istakhara in all of our affairs like a surah from the Quran. He said, if one of you has a issue that's important to him, then let him make two raka'at other than the compulsory salah. And then let him say, oh Allah, indeed I seek your decision from your knowledge, and استقدرك بقدرتك. I don't know how to translate. Somebody knows the English of it. I seek your help from the ability that you have, and I ask you from your magnificent bounties, because indeed you are able and I'm not able, and you know and I don't know, and you are علام الغيوب, and you are the knower of the unseen. O Allah, if you know that this affair is good for me and my deen and in my life and in my final abode. Or he said, Allah. Or he said, for my affair right now, or in the future, or in the hereafter, then make this happen for me. And the Shaykh, he doesn't have it here, and I know in some of the narrations, فَقْدُرْهُ لِي وَيَسِّرْهُ لِي ثُمَّ بَارِكْ لِي فِيهِ. Make it happen for me, make it easy for me, and bless me in it. And if you know that this decision of mine is evil for me or bad for me and my deen and in my livelihood and in my final abode, or he said in my affairs right now or in the future, then turn me away from it and turn it away from me and give me good wherever it is, and then make me pleased with it. And then he would mention his case. And next week, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to make, because of the importance of it, we're going to try to make next week's class only about the Salatul Istikhara, if we can put it in one class. And if not, then for the next 2 weeks, we'll try to recite it properly and to let everybody repeat it, to learn it like we learn the Quran, inshallah ta'ala. And then to cover the book of one of my sheikhs, Asim Al-Qarriyuti, who wrote a nice explanation to this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and answered all or many of the questions around the issue of Salatul Istikhara. And we'll cover that inshallah ta'ala next week. And Imam Ash-Shawkani, he ended off with saying, and 2 rak'ahs between every adhan and iqamah. And we had already mentioned that hadith, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad. I don't know if there were any questions related to this. Yes.
Yes. What does Turaqa
Shafi mean? I don't know if it's the right
term. Yeah,
Turaqa Shafi. Yeah, what does that mean? Shafi means an even number. Yeah.
Did you make that before? Let me give you an example. If you finish making Turaqa Shafi, then you go home and make 2 sunnahs after Turaqa Shafi at your home.
Yes.
Then before you go to bed, do you make 2 rak'ahs?
The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he had said, whoever wants to make 5, let him make 5. 2, 2, 1. Whoever wants to make 3, let him make 3, 2, 1. Whoever wants to make 1, let him make 1. And then we have the example of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, where he did 8 rak'ahs and then 3 rak'ahs of witr. And we had covered it before in some detail. I don't think we're going to repeat it. I don't remember what the class was called, but one of the brothers had asked before to show us the night salat of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani, at the end of his book on Salatul Tarawih, where he had tried to show the Muslims that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam made 8 rak'ahs and 3 witr, and he didn't do this 20 rak'ahs or this 23 rak'ahs, or I think it's 41 rak'ahs, and there's about 8 opinions or whatever. At the back of it, he showed the different ways that the Messenger of Allah made his night salat, to say, okay, mix all of the differencing. This is what the Messenger of Allah did. Oh, yeah, I mentioned the different ways that he made the night salat, and all of those ways are permissible. Yes. Yeah, I don't know any of the statements of the ulama between the difference of 4 after and 2 after, other than both of them have been reported from the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and both of them are okay to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, yeah. Yeah. If someone goes to sleep and forgets the last winter, does he make it when he wakes up? I want to say yeah, and I can't remember the hadith right now. And hopefully by next week, inshallah. Before that, I used to think that I had memorized the hadith that went من نام عن وتره فيصلي إذا استيقظ أو إذا ذكر. I don't remember right now, inshallah. We'll take a look just to double check. Even as I thought I remember the Shaykh even explaining that hadith to say that even all the way up until the next day. And don't quote me on this right now, we'll wait until we double check, because sometimes you think you read something and you read the explanation and it's not like that, and we'll double check inshallah. Yes. Yeah, the issue of making the salah sitting, I think we dealt with it before that, on the voluntary salah, you have the option of standing or sitting. As we said from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, except that the salah sitting is half the reward of the one standing when both of them have the ability to do so. I mean, if you have the ability to stand, but you choose to sit, then it's going to be half of the reward if you stood up and made that salah. But it's permissible to make the salat sitting. And some of the people used to think it's compulsory. I don't know if we've seen it much here, but I know we saw it overseas that the people follow the Hanafi madhab, that right after Salatul Maghrib, they always get some sunnah raka'ah sitting down. All the time. So it's permissible to make the sunnah raka'ah, and this is the night salat, or otherwise sitting down, and you get half of the reward as opposed to standing up. See? Abdul Ali.
I just wanted to clarify something. You talked about night salat. I heard you talk about Salatul
Shafi. No, we didn't talk about Salatul Shafi. The brother, he asked a question about that. No, this Shafi or Witr, I don't know, I think the people call it that. I don't memorize any hadith with that, except the people. No, I don't know anybody memorized the hadith that calls it like that. All I know is what we mentioned. The witr is the odd number. Alright. The salat at night time is, as the Prophet ﷺ said, masna masna. When they asked him about the night salat, he said, turakat, turakat. Alright, the night salat is turakat, turakat. The witr is the odd number. And we had explained, and the best thing to do is, I don't know, you know the name of that piece? Maybe we have to do it again. Yeah. I don't know which part of the class. Alright, well, inshallah, after we finish the Salat al-Sakhara, somebody reminds us, we'll try to do this last part of, or maybe we'll take it after one of the Salat al-Sajr or something, to read this section from Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani's book, Salat al-Tarawih, to show the night Salat of the Prophet. At any rate, the night Salat is two rakats, two rakats, two rakats, two rakats. Witr is the odd number of rak'ah. The Prophet ﷺ, in one of the hadith that we mentioned, gave the example, witr being five rak'ah, or witr being three rak'ah, or witr being one rak'ah. Alright, you decide what you want. Maybe tonight you say, I'm a little tired. I do two rak'ah, then I do three witr. Or the next day you say, I'm feeling a little strong. I do two, that's four. Then I do five rak'ahs witr, for example. And then this is just to show that the witr is the odd number of rak'ah, and the night salat is the even number of rak'ah. And the word, I guess that they're referring to Shafi'ah, that is referring to an even as opposed to odd. So I guess they're just using that to show the night salat. And I don't know the terminology well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, but yes. Yeah, we're going to bring the whole class out. Really, I want to read the book of the Shaykh to quote the exact narrations of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam to show how he did it. Alright, 2-2-1. Alright, your one is your witr, you say. Alright,
Prophet said, like we said, if you want to do your witr 5 rakahs, okay. You want to do it 3 rakahs, okay. You want to do a 1 rakah, okay. Your night salah is 2 rakahs, 2 rakahs, 2 rakahs. Right. The reason why, all right, let's say the witr salah can be 5 straight. 5 straight. Rakahs with no salam to the end. And then there's other examples, and we'll see. But everybody's jumping the gun to bring what we don't have time to mention everything right now. So really the main thing that the Shaykh was trying to get out now is night salat is 2 rakahs, 2 rakahs. And the most rakahs that the Prophet ﷺ did is 13. And some of the people say that those two were the two sunnah after Salatul Isha. And some people say there were two sunnah Salatul Fajr. Some people say no, it was the night salat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This is the most. And the witr is the odd number, whether it's 5 or 3 or 1, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam gave in the example that we mentioned. Alhamdulillah.